We are so blessed to have Reverend Elder Dr. Nancy Wilson with us once again. And I like to think that your multiple visits to our church are not simply because we're just up the road from you, but because this is a special place. And thank you. Thank you, Reverend Nancy, for blessing us.
Well, thank you so much, Pastor Jacob, and it is a delight always to be here with you. And, you know, it is good that we're so close, but I also feel so at home in your presence, and I've had the great joy of being present with you for many special occasions, especially since I've lived in Florida the last 15 years, and I am so grateful for you and for this congregation, for all you have done to live through times of transition. At any one given time, 25 to 30 MCC churches at a time are going through some kind of transition, especially pastoral transition, whether it's a pastor leaves and then there's an interim and then you say goodbye to the interim and then you go through another process of pastoral search and finally welcome a settled pastor. And so that's not to mention all the other transitions churches go through in buildings and lots of other things. But I thank you for being faithful and steadfast in this transition. I thank you for being faithful and generous in your vision of MCC globally. I hope all of you will pray and consider about coming to the General Conference in Victoria, British Columbia, next July 4 through 8. We're going to have an amazing family reunion for MCC from 30 or more countries around the world, and we hope that you'll consider being with us as we make many important decisions. I bring you greetings today from our elders around the world, from our governing board and leadership. We are proud of you, MCC Tampa. We are grateful for you. Yeah, give yourselves a big hand. Also, a hearty welcome to Jacob's family. And we're so grateful that you're here today celebrating with us, and what a wonderful time together. Before I begin preaching, though, I just want to meddle a little bit before I preach and say, you know, your pastor is someone who in many ways grew up in this church. He's homegrown. On the other hand, he's traveled far and wide all over the world, in many ways preparing for this moment in his life when he would come home to you but be in a new role. And I want to say to you that it takes a lot of commitment and creativity to say, we're going to let Jacob be Jacob in this place. And we're going to... And I would say the very best thing you can do is to let him be who he is. He is not any of your previous pastors. He is not made in any of their images. He is a new thing in this place. And he's going to have new ideas, and he's going to have his own revelations in his life and his own style of leadership. And I want to say to you, you have a great opportunity to shape a great pastor. And I hope you take that calling up with him, just as he has a calling, to be true to himself, to be true to everything that he has learned, everything God has prepared him for in this place. Just as he comes to this, you too also have a calling. And your calling is to go with him. Your calling is to be loving and honest and grateful and open-hearted to say, let's do a new thing in Tampa together. Amen. Let's be MCC Tampa in some new ways in this community. And I know God has called the right leader. You waited for him, you know? And I know he waited for this moment. And without getting ahead of myself in my sermon, I just want to say that good things come to those who wait upon God for God's choice. So God bless you today. Amen. Let's pray. God, we say with the prophet Isaiah, God has done wonderful things in this place. God, today on this All Saints Day, we give you thanks for all the saints who've worshiped here, who've given of their time and talent and tithe and love, for all of those who have served this place in different times and eras of this church. We give you thanks because you are a God who is always new. You are a God who is with us and who continues to do wonderful things. In Jesus' name and in your many names we pray. Amen. In the midst of Isaiah's prophecy, there are three psalms that come up in the middle of Isaiah, 25, I think 26, and 27. It's sort of like in the middle of this, the prophecies and the hard truths that Isaiah is preaching, there is just this welling up of praise and of pride and joy in a God who has done great things. Isaiah praises a God who cares for the poor, who is biased for the needy, who loves the oppressed, who seeks to set them free, a God who is present in everyday life and history, who is on the side of the outcast, the God who is crying out today in our world for Syria and 60 million migrants, people who are refugees from Africa and the Middle East, pouring into Europe as the world is reshuffling itself in some incredible and dramatic and painful ways. We are the people of God who affirm God is moving even in these terrible times, even in times of great stress and need in the world. And the prophet comes along to set out a vision for how things should be in the midst of great trouble and tragedies. Reverend Troy Perry, who founded MCC, Reverend Lee and I know that we always felt and feel that Troy Perry is a prophet in our world, a prophet who has a vision of how the world would really be if we treated one another with the love and power of God, how things would really be if we followed that Holy Spirit. And part of that vision we heard today in Isaiah, the vision of the great banquet, that wonderful vision where all will be satisfied, where all people's needs will be met, where people will be respected and they will have dignity. And the prophet even says, the day will come when death itself will be swallowed up by God's great love. In Isaiah's time, the belief was that death itself was something that swallowed up life. And here it's turned on its head. And we hear that echoed in the book of Revelation, where death itself is swallowed up by the power of God's love. And every tear is wiped from every eye. As we have a vision of a time when there will be no more refugees, when there will be no more people who are bullied in our schools for being who they are, where there will be none who are left out of God's great banquet. It will be said, lo, this is our God, the one we have waited for. The world is waiting for a view of God that matches the aspirations of so many. Years ago, J.B. Phillips wrote a book that said, your God is too small. And that's true today as well. And we are the people who have a view of God that the world is waiting for. I believe that in all my heart. Even as people are discouraged about religion, I believe they are hungry for a God who has a vision of including them. I think about, when John's disciples came to Jesus and said, are you the one that we're waiting for, or is there another? And think about the many ways Jesus answered that, but he said, you know, look around you. The lame walk, the blind see, the poor have good news preached to them. Decide for yourself, am I the one that you're waiting for? And this last miracle in the Gospel of John, the raising of Lazarus, that amazing swallowing up of death, it is the sign of God's great sovereignty, of the God they had all been waiting for. So MCC Tampa, I say to you three things today. Number one, our God is the God who shows up in our lives and in our history. We are the ones who have to believe that God is really up to something in our world today and in our community. What it means to be a community of faith is to believe that God is up to something in your church, in your community. And one of the signs of that is that you've elected a new leader, a new pastor, and that God is up to something in Jacob's life and heart and in your board and leadership. You know, it is amazing how God shows up sometimes. I was on the south lawn of the White House a month ago as Pope Francis, yes, arrived among great fanfare. I had to get online at 4:30 in the morning, and I am now getting a little old to be doing that, I have to tell you. And so because I got there at 4:30 in the morning, I was among the first 1,000 or so people who got in, and I got a seat in the grandstand. And if you open the Time magazine with the Pope's picture on it, to the centerfold, there's a grandstand right there. And if you have a magnifying glass, you can see me in my red jacket behind a woman in blue. And so you're going to have to use your magnifying glass and see it. But I was really there, and it was a gorgeous sunny day. And one of the most amazing things is that all of the young people there, many of them being interviewed on television, including most who were not LGBT, when you ask them what was the one thing that inspired them about Pope Francis, they said his words, "Who am I to judge?" Yes. It's like God used that impromptu moment on an airplane with the Pope to have him say something that resonates well beyond even one kind of feeling or belief of exclusion. The Pope opened up to something, to a hunger there is. Now, at the same time I was in the south lawn of the White House, a dear friend of mine had very recently turned 90 years old, Father John McNeil. He was the founder of Dignity in New York for gay Catholics 41, 42 years ago. He wrote the first book, A Catholic Perspective, called The Church and the Homosexual. He wrote that book 40 years ago that talked about a Catholic belief and doctrine and how it was possible to be who you are, especially then to be gay and Christian, to be LGBT and Christian. He was a Jesuit priest. He had been a war hero. And gradually, over that first few years in founding Dignity, he came out of the closet himself. And he paid a great price. He was eventually kicked out of the Jesuits and censured and silenced by a pope of the Catholic Church. He struggled with popes and the hierarchy and leadership, and he paid the price in his being of being excluded, of being kicked out of that wonderful brotherhood of Jesuits that he was so much a part of. And yet, when he learned of Pope Francis, a Jesuit himself, something in John's spirit at the end of his life began to be hopeful and optimistic in a new way. That sunny morning, that Wednesday morning when the Pope arrived on the south lawn of the White House, I was sitting there on that bench, you know, in that bleachers, and my phone blinked and I looked at it, And it said, shortly after Pope Francis arrived last night, Father John McDeal died. And I thought about him and kind of handing that baton of some kind of hope for inclusion, of who am I to judge, that John, who had waited all of his life, all of his adult life, to hear any word of hope from the church he loved, got to hear those words before he died. And as the Pope landed in the United States, John let go of his life. I think about how God used John to save lives, to point the way. I'm thankful that John McNeil showed up in his life, that he was truthful, that he took the risk of being all of who he was, and that he made possible the day we live in today. Those of us who follow Jesus, we have to show up. We have to speak out. We have to stand up or shout out. We have to be the ones who pave the way. And God needs you, MCC Tampa, and Reverend Jacob, to show up here in this city, in this community, to be the ones who will take the risk, to be the embodiment of who am I to judge. We are the Who Am I to Judge Church of all times. Amen. And God has called us to be that. Secondly, God may be late, but God's always on time. Have you ever heard that? Yes, I thank churches I've attended and people who've taught me that. God may be late, but God's always on time. God's sense of timing, I will never understand. You know, and it's one of the questions I'm going to ask. Why are there so many cliffhangers? I don't get it. I don't understand that sometimes. But in that moment with John McNeil and Pope Francis, in which they were together in my mind and experience for a moment, it was exquisite. God has a kind of synchronicity sometimes. And waiting for God is an honored spiritual practice in our faith. As we come up to the season of Advent, it's a whole season in which we embrace the spiritual practice of waiting. You know, there are times when we need to act, but there are also times when we need to wait. I think about Lazarus' sisters and family and friends. I think about them waiting for Jesus to show up. Jesus heard about Lazarus on the brink of death, and he delayed his trip there. And I think of the family and friends in the days when there weren't cell phones or email or Instagram or Twitter or Facebook where they could be, you know, communicating with Jesus in many ways. I think about that excruciating time of waiting when it seemed too late and when they went ahead with the funeral even without Jesus being there. Where they wondered in their heart, you know, what if he had been here? Then it would not have been too late. I think about another story that happened with Jesus where Jesus was walking down the road and toward a young girl who was very ill and dying. And her very rich, powerful father had called on Jesus to come and heal her. But along the way, he stopped because a woman had touched the hem of his garment. You remember that story? And Jesus stopped and took time out to hear her, to know her story. And by the time he got to the house for the little girl, people were telling him, it's too late. It's too late, Jesus. You made the wrong choice. You stopped for this woman who has no name, who was a nobody, wasn't important, and you missed your date with a very powerful man and his daughter. But Jesus just pushed them aside, went in and said, she's sleeping. And he touched her hand, and she got up. And I think about that story and the ways in which sometimes we feel in our spirit it's too late. But Jesus, in this amazing sign, the very last miracle in the Gospel of John, Jesus takes on this task to call Lazarus from the tomb. I think about what it took to do that, on Jesus' part and how this became a powerful sign of God's sovereignty, of God's power over life and death, and of the true purpose and power and vision of a God. As we wait upon God, God will act. God will act in our world. God will act to bring peace and justice and hope to so many who need it. And last but not least, God is active in our activism. Sometimes it is that moment in which we do need to act and we do need to respond. You know, last December, as the news came that Cuba was opening up and that the U.S. and Cuba would begin to open relationships, Reverend Troy Perry said to me, I'm not traveling much anymore, and Troy doesn't travel. He said, but I've always wanted to go to Cuba. He said, when I was a little boy, my dad went to Cuba for business. And he said, I always had a curiosity. And he said, I'm so thrilled. There's something happening in history at this moment, and I think we should be part of it. At that very same time, we got an invitation from a Baptist seminary in Cuba. Amen. Baptist seminary in Cuba. And this Baptist seminary was wanting to hear from people talking about a more inclusive vision of God's love and grace. And so they contacted us to be part of a weekend-long seminar and talking about inclusion of LGBT people in the people of God and in the church. And so we accepted that invitation, Reverend Elder Hector Gutierrez from Mexico, and Reverend Elder Dr. Mona West, who's a Baptist in her background, and also Reverend Perry. And so they set out and they spent 2 weeks in Cuba. And after they had a wonderful experience at the seminary together and began to open up and meet all dozens and dozens of young adults and people who are pastors, who are coming out of the closet, talking about their lives. Troy said one evening they sat and watched the movie Call Me Troy with Spanish subtitles. And there was Reverend Perry sitting with 30 or 40 young adults. Can you imagine? Tears streaming down his face. They were so thrilled. LGBT people were so persecuted in Cuba for so long in many, many ways. And so the lid is just beginning to come off. And even as the government is more accepting and offering rights to LGBT peoples, this church is in many ways have still not caught up. But they spent weeks meeting with groups and people, and there was a group called Somos, which means we are. And you can fill in the blank, but it was a kind of a little bit of a closeted word, Somos, we are, And so this was a group, especially of LGBT and allies and friends who were longing to have connection to God and who were often apart from their own churches where they felt that they were oppressed. But as this conference ended, in the month or so after the conference, many of these young people went back to their Baptist churches all over the island of Cuba, and they were kicked out of their churches for having been part of this conference. Some of them were clergy ordained in these churches. Some of them were young seminarians and students. And so we continued our contact with them, and Reverend Hector Gutierrez went back to Cuba and spent a long weekend with all of those people who were experiencing that heartache. But you know what they said? Today we are Somos, but we are now Somos MCC. We are ICM, MACC. And we have three new church groups there with leadership that is educated by the Baptist Seminary. And amen. But you know what they said was, you know what? We have been MCC all along. We just didn't know it. We didn't know it had a name. We didn't know it had a story and a face. We didn't know you'd been doing this for over 40 years. And we've been doing this for years in our own country. And so they began to talk about what it meant to discover their MCC-ness within them. And I tell you that our activism, our being willing to go to places like Eastern Europe and like Cuba and like the Philippines and in China, where today we have 10 groups all over China that are education groups because they cannot be churches. They come together for retreat once a year. This last year in Beijing, 100 people met in the name of MCC and in the name of our Global Justice Institute to worship and to pray and to be MCC in China. I know that as we act, people in Tampa will discover that they've been MCC all along, they just didn't know it. You will find more and more people who say, this is the God I have waited for. This is the God we have waited for. May God bless you as you act, as you wait, as you show up for this community that longs for you. Let us pray. God, we love you and bless you. Thank you for being our God. Help us to be your people. Help us to wait when we need to wait and to act when we need to act. Help us to show up and to be your people in this place. In Jesus' name and in your many names we pray. Amen. Thank you.